Welcome, 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 welcome to the show. It's your boy Josh Accardo here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I got a really exciting show for you today. It's a show that, to me, really brings some things to the forefront that I like to talk about. I think I have the perfect guest on today to talk about them. That's why they haven't been talked about a lot on the show previously, is because I haven't had the partner to do so. And today I do. On this show I do. I have Mo the Monster Johnson. Mo is a adult film performer. He's a male adult film performer, black man in the industry. And he's very no holds barred. He didn't pull any punches. He was really honest with me. And we really jumped into some pretty deep shit. I mean, we talked about his preference of only, you know, of dating white women. And we talked about what it's like to be a black man in America right now with the trends that kind of sexually kind of go towards that, you know, as far as there's whole genres of porn based on black men's penises and a lot of like the Kardashians, and a lot of women now are openly dating black men in a fashion that's almost like they're like a trendy item. And him and I talk about it, and he talks about how that makes him feel. And I'm thankful for that, because being a man of no color, being me, even though I am half Hawaiian, half Sicilian, in case you guys are thinking that I'm just some Caucasian jamoke speaking out of my white privilege ass, that is not the case. But being that I am a Caucasian-looking man, I don't have much right, and my opinion doesn't hold much water in outside communities, even though it might make sense. And having him here to kind of validate thoughts and us to kind of talk about that together and in a very open, healthy way I think it's good radio. It's good. It's good food for fodder. It's food for thought. Is it fodder? I mean, it doesn't really matter. But Mo's great, and I think you guys are really going to like what we touch base on. I think it actually is pretty current and has a lot to do with the times now, and I hope you enjoy. I am blessed, I'm going to say blessed, hashtag blessed, to have with me Mo the Monster Johnson. Please say hello to everybody, Mo.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? My name is Mo the Monster Johnson, as he just said.
And he's wearing the smoothest... What would you call this? It's a light blue with a pinstripe and a chocolate brown. Would you call that a chocolate brown suit vest?
This is actually, I haven't wore these type of suits since college, but
So what are these suits?
I ran for student government, and I was very active in the student body mm-hmm. community and stuff like that.
You're very well dressed.
Yes.
I'm very impressed.
Yes.
I'm glad. So that makes, I feel like I am a serious guy now that you've taken me seriously. Yes, and you have to wear so I love it.
Definitely.
Very much.
Hey, you know, I see someone post something on Instagram. It said, always dress as if you're going to see your worst enemy.
Yeah, I like that.
You know,
it's like the same as dress for the job you want, but that's the more pussy version of that.
Yeah.
Dress for the job you want.
Pretty much.
I've been in Paris for a while, and I've been on tour. This is my first time I'm talking to another human being on this show in almost 2 months, and you're my first guy, and I'm really pumped.
I appreciate it.
To give the audience a little context about Mo. Mo is an adult performer, and with the nickname The Monster, I'm going to let you draw the conclusions for yourself. It's pretty self-explanatory, right?
Pretty self-explanatory.
So we're going to get into a lot of stuff, because I have... when I knew I was going to have you on, I literally was thinking about all the things I could talk to you about, because I have so much to talk about when it comes to not only interracial dating, interracial porn, but also from the male performer perspective, but also like who you are as a dude, right? Because that's more important than anything else. The performer part to me, that's great. That gets people to go, oh, it's a porn performer, but more about like what you're about type of thing.
About, yeah.
So where I want to start first, because I want to make sure... I got my shit organized. I feel like, and I want your take on this.
Okay.
In this day and age, for example, like in the 50s, Marilyn Monroe was the main chick, right? Everyone, it was like early 60s, it was Marilyn Monroe and Jackie Kennedy. Mm-hmm. So a lot of women were trying to look like those two women. They were the trend, right?
Yes.
And then as you move through the years, you have the 80s where it's like, Tony Kattan or somebody or some, you know, heavy metal chick that's in a video rolling a car. That was like
that was the
chick,
good,
right?
Yeah.
And in the 90s, it was Pamela Anderson.
Definitely
Pamela. And people were all about getting, you know,
big
the
boobs and all
big
that.
Fake tits, mm-hmm. right?
Blonde hair.
And then in early 2000s, 2005, it's like a Jennifer Aniston. Then, like, a J-Lo creeped in.
Yeah.
And J-Lo, I never thought I'd ever say this, but I respect her more than anybody. Because she's kept it. Because all these girls go, I'm a boss. And many of you are not bosses. I'm going to just tell you right now. Yeah. J-Lo is a boss. She runs her dudes. She also runs her career. That's a real boss. If a woman wanna goes, I'm a boss. Oprah's a boss. But these hot chicks are like, I'm like a boss. No, you whine a lot, but you're not quite. J-Lo's a boss. You're just pissing and moaning. You're just a hot chick who pisses and moans. You're not a boss. So what I want to talk to you about, because you know better than anybody.
Jesus, I do.
is... See, I come from a place where I grew up in a neighborhood where I was around a lot of black men.
Okay.
And getting to know their tastes. And the black culture, if you don't have your own culture, people gravitate towards it.
Yeah.
And they steal it, and they try to put it out as their own. It's been going on
forever,
right? And now it's at a point where the black culture is now just culture. Because people are the big butts. Everyone's, like, chasing it. I've been on it since day one. Lark Voorhees, Lisa Turtle.
Oh,
we're talking 1993, so I'm an original.
He said Lisa Turtle.
You know Lisa
Turtle.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. I mean, she didn't even... I'm not going to lie. She didn't even have a big butt to me. She just had she had a pretty face. Her face, though,
really
was just
face.
Like, oh, my God. That I think that she was, like, my aim, like, growing up. I was like, I got to have a girl like Lisa Turtle.
Yeah, then it was Nia Long.
Oh,
Nia. Which was on Fresh Prince.
Nia Long. Now, Nia Long had booty.
She has booty.
Oh, God.
So the first thing I want to talk about with you is this, just, you know, it's a long way leading up to this, but I wanted to make sure people knew the context of it.
Definitely.
Is, as a black man, not only in America, but, well, specifically America, because I'm going to talk about Europe, because I was just in Europe, and how it's really odd. I feel like here in America, being a black man is that's a black guy. In Europe, it's like, that's a guy. Seriously, it's weird how a switch turns on. And black men gain from that here. It, to a degree, you're like, you have a sexual prowess that white men don't have, which you cash in on.
Yes.
You have the fear factor, right? Because people are scared of black men.
But then
at the end of the day, you still get the awful shit too, right? You get the stops by the cops, all this stuff, the prejudice. I mean, I'm sure you would rather take walking down the street and being all right as opposed to being the guy with the huge dick, even though you have a huge dick.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I
mean,
you
know, it's like you have to take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, sometimes it's cool. Like, I wilded out the other night. I was very frustrated at a personal situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, jumped on a train from Brooklyn to the Bronx.
Long-ass train ride for all you people that live in New York, by the way.
And it's funny that you mentioned Jennifer Lopez, too, because it's actually the same train that she's known for, because she's also from...
The 6, right?
Yeah, it's close to the same area I'm from.
Are you from Pelham?
I'm from actually by, like, Gun Hill Road, but I have family that's in Park Chester.
Okay.
So when I come home, I kind of bounce around between Gun Hill, Park Chester, Harlem. Yeah. You know, I'm a New Yorker. But, yeah, so I was so pissed off, and I was having an argument, and...
Female shit?
And it just got to a point, you know, I just said I needed to vent. So I put my headphones in and I just jumped on the train. And I rode the train, you know, from Brooklyn all the way up to the Bronx.
That's like almost 2 hours if you go all the way through the 6. Yeah, it's a long train ride for people that don't know.
And I was on a train with a chinchilla on. Right? Now, this is one of those moments, like I said, it's the good with the bad. Now, had I been probably a less intimidating looking black man, I probably would have got robbed or beat up, and someone probably would have took all my shit. You know what I'm saying? But being a black man, you know, with a toothpick in my mouth, my hat cocked to the side, I'm just chilling on the train, listening to my music, just mentally venting. Because it's just like, you know, you're so mad at the world, I'm just looking at everybody like, if somebody come talk to him, I'll punch him in the face. You know what I'm saying? And nobody mess with me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, those are some of the perks, you know, of being a black man.
Yeah, but I mean, you ever see Eddie Murphy Raw, his famous, you know, Eddie Murphy Raw, the stand-up special from 1988. He has this great bit, this famous bit, where black guys specifically from New York do this thing where, even if they can't fight, we act like we can fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to step on your feet like, to redeem myself. Like,
I don't know about your job. Like, it's really, really great bit. So the biggest question that I have for you right now with this is, what I was getting to is, as a black man in this day and age, specifically 2015, and what's going around, where a lot of white women are not only openly dating black men, but exclusively. I find women in general to be the most prejudiced people on the planet because they always got a type. Like, and I have slept with many women that I'm not their type. I had to switch that over, right?
I don't even think it's just the type. I think the women, like, they're not even sure what they want. So it's like, to try to be something that they want, you're going to be constantly changing because they're going to change 10 times what they want. Like the prime example, maybe it's too early in the day to be telling personal stories, but I'm going to tell a personal story because I like you. I like you. You're cool. Right? So before I leave L.A. on my birthday hits in 12, and my boy, you know, do me a favor. He's like, yo, I got a girl I want you to meet, right? So he calls her over. And this girl, I mean, she looks like the most palest, lily white woman ever in the world. And, like, I could smell that the fear. I smell the fear. I could smell it from her personality. Like, and she's looking right now. I have two of my boys. Shout out to Jovan Jordan. Shout out to Donnie Sins. Those are my two boys. And one of them is light-skinned. One of them is almost the same complexion as you. The other one is brown skin. So I'm kind of, you know, we're kind of going like, you know, I don't even know how to describe my boy because he's like so light, you know, like, so sort of like he's just literally like light skin, we call
cappuccino,
him
Cappuccino,
brother. Yeah, he like cappuccino. Then we have the regular, we have the mocha chocolate, then we have, you know, then we have the caramel chocolate with my other boy. So she's looking. And, like, literally, she sees me and she kisses me in the mouth immediately. He said, I've never kissed a black man before. I've never been intimate with a black man before. So I kiss her in the mouth. I said, mwah. I said, now I'm your first black experience. So she looks at the other two guys and she's just like, you know, and she's shaking and she's nervous. And I'm like, so you're gonna have sex with all three of us? She's like, I'm just so excited. I'm just so excited. So I get into my apartment.
Okay, so, side note, running trains, is that a black culture thing? I'm not saying white men don't do that, but I know black men love to share, like, to pass a girl around. That's like a thing.
It's one of those things that it comes with the nature of how we do things.
Like, what is that? Why is that?
Especially being from the Bronx, like, as far as me growing up in the Bronx, we're always about our boys. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? No girl comes above the boys. Money doesn't come above the boys. You know what I'm saying? The relationships you have with your friends growing up, it's the same, like, if you ever seen Bronx Tale. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, that transcends between, you know, whether you're Jewish, you're Italian, you're black. Mm-hmm. If you grew up in the Bronx, and you know what I mean? That's the kind of attitude you have. Sure. You know what I'm saying? So, being in the gangbangs and stuff like that, growing up, that's what we did. Like, if we get a girl and she's with it, hit it.
So, I'm a known freak, as my listeners know. But I am just got engaged. The thought of passing my chick around could be a turn-on, but because she holds that status in my life, I could never go, hey, if me and you were best friends, and go, let's tag my chick. Could you tag? Could you, if you cared about somebody and they were your number one, could you pass them around?
Of course.
Really? That's how much boys mean to you.
The reason why I say that is because for what I do, you have to stand behind what you say. You know what I'm saying? So if you flip it on the other side, take it in with, if it was a woman, if you was a woman, not to say you, you know,
yeah, I know you're saying.
But if you was a woman.
I am no woman.
Wouldn't you love to have multiple partners worshiping you or making you the object of their attention? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. Like, even as us, as guys, if we walked in the room and it was seven women, they was like, we all want to bang you right now. You so hot. I mean, I would be like, take me.
Yeah, those seven random women. So when you're dating, because I heard that you deal with, it's hard to deal with actual regular dating because of your job.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Which is pretty common, I'm assuming, in your vocation.
Yeah.
But when you meet somebody, I don't know if you've ever met somebody yet that's like this, but if you've met somebody where you know, like, this is someone really, really special, and I might make them mine forever. Not from a possessive standpoint. I mean, sharing is caring. It's a true thing, right?
Definitely.
Even that being as it may, you are still open to going, hey, well, bringing some of your boys in to handle it if she's down with it.
My thing is, if it's a point for me is that it becomes a turn on to me because now I want to see how freaky she can get.
Yeah, like
it's even to a point where it can get where I might want to watch to let her know I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's all about satisfying a woman.
Sure.
And this is the trend of what it is. It's now women are more sexually aggressive, but it's they're so prone to like try to keep those feelings docile because they don't want people to think
that there's something bad.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like the current girl that I deal with, first time we linked up was a threesome. And even within the threesome, we found a connection.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. Like, if you can find a connection with somebody, then that connection will be there, and it will be there no matter what situation. You know what I'm saying? And it, honestly, to me, I think when you express yourself such openly like that, it makes you be more honest about the little things.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she, my friend Nat I deal with, she tells me, you know, she didn't like my job, but she still loves me. You know?
A lot of complications involved.
It's complications.
What's the longest relationship you've ever been in? I mean, literally, where someone's attached to you. I'm not saying monogamous because I don't. That's not possible
it's,
in your career.
It's
I'm
definitely
saying,
not possible.
This is the woman you come home to. This is the person that's you know you're domestic with. Because the thing is, sex is one thing. That's something you're good at. And you know how to do. But the real shit is that shit where you got to go. Well, the rent's due. Let's sit around and talk about our next move or. How's your mom doing? Your mom's sick. Or, you know what I mean? These are real life
and
shit.
And that's what the hard thing is. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, the longest relationship I ever had was 3 years. And it was like...
Consecutively? Like you were with...
3 years.
Yeah, like on and off.
Literally, she came for one weekend from L.A. to shoot with me. She stayed...
So an industry person.
For 3 years. And it even got to the point where she stopped doing certain things she was doing just to accommodate... My personal.
What'd you want her to stop doing? If you don't mind me asking.
As far as escorting.
Okay.
You know,
so that stuff
private.
You're like not cool with. Yeah,
I mean, only with me because, like, I treat this industry very, very sacred. So it's like, you know, when you take enough a condom and you're working with somebody unprotected, you know, you're putting your life and their life in the line every time. So it's like, you know, I don't like girls that's too promiscuous because. If we turn it up, even with condoms break. Things happen. So it's like you have to play on a playing field that's safe because, hey, God forbid, I do something reckless in my personal and I bring that into the industry or vice versa.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So
you have responsibility. But
you have to be responsible.
A lot of girls in the industry escort now.
Majority of them do.
Because that's near the money where it should be. And, you know, I've heard the grapevine is something that they do. Cool. But you're saying that it could be. If they're not doing it right, they could bring something in the mix.
They can bring something
guys.
In
yeah.
the mix. I mean, but I mean,
testing's very good in your industry, though.
Testing is very good. I mean, you know, I had did an interview last night, and I had told him I was like, you know, we test every 14 days now. I wouldn't even mind if we tested every 7 days. You know, at the end of the day, if you're the test is only as good as the character of the person that's presenting the test.
Sure.
So you know, people can get tested today and do something bad tomorrow and still have a clean test for 14 days.
Yeah, exactly.
It really doesn't matter. But you know, it's to have the responsibility to know that every time I have sex with somebody, whether it's in the industry or out the industry, I put myself and everyone else that I care about and I work with in jeopardy. You know, and those are the type of principles that I carry.
Sure.
So. When I deal with a woman, I look for a woman that can have the similar type of principles. Now, if a woman is willing to tell me, I care about you enough that I will stop what I'm doing on the side.
She knew you had you were uneasy about it, but you didn't tell her to stop it. I don't know you well, but I don't feel like that's your character to tell somebody they can't do something.
No.
So you just expressed that you weren't comfortable with that.
It's very simple. Get a test, and I'll take you serious. She flipped it back on me the same way. She says, well... I want someone to be more exclusive before I take them serious. Okay, granted. So I flip one back on her. I won't change you if you won't change me. You know what I'm saying? Everything is about compromise. Relationships is about sharing. So sometimes you may be in a relationship where it be 50-50 and it works. Sometimes maybe the relationship will be 90-10 and it won't work. But then sometimes you might want that woman so bad you're willing to put that extra attention in to have her the way you want her.
But even that gets old. That has shelf life. When you're giving so much and not getting much back, no matter
what. Or vice versa. You're getting so much and you're like, you know what? I don't love you the way you love me. You know? So, like, love is very funny. And I all the experience I have with women, I usually let them set the trend.
Because it always starts with you, I'm assuming, a lot of times, with lust. Lust is always that first thing. And not that it doesn't happen that way in most regular life-term shit. But with you, I'm assuming, especially because of your job and also because of what you do, it's something that has to come out immediately for the most part. It's not like... And you wear it. You know, like, it's not like when you walk in, I could tell you're a porn star, but you have a certain persona about you and where you hang out. I'm a guy, I'm a comic, I'm going to meet chicks that like to laugh, and you're probably going to want to fuck me, because, you know, that's what I do. You're going to be around strip clubs and different things, promoting yourself, being in different adult situations, and you're going to meet girls that are ready to fuck that night. Yeah, and then you're going to try to build a long-lasting relationship, which is possible, but you need someone on another level intellectually to be able to get by all that shit, right? All of that lust shit, to get to the actual real core, which is what you're talking about now, which is that back and forth, that
real talk. Like I've actually known women for years and never had sex with them, and those women are usually the ones that last longer in my life because we haven't crossed that threshold of having sex.
Because you're earning that attention.
It's respect and trust. I mean, it's all about loyalty, respect, and trust. You know what I'm saying? And for the right woman, you can be loyal, and if the trust is there, the respect comes. And you'll be fine.
Can you be monogamous, do you think?
I truly believe I can. I mean, even the way I look at it is like, this is my job. This is work. I treat it very seriously. When I'm not on set, I'm not calling the girls and begging them to come over and have fun.
Right. I've heard about guys that work. Guys do it. They want to continue what they just did.
They always do it. In a way, the women want it too sometimes. Because
You have a connection. Because if you're doing your job, right?
Yeah. If it was a good day on set, you may want to enjoy that again. But, you know, when my thing is, I look at it as I'd rather wait for the next time because then the anticipation grows stronger. With me, it's all mental. And I think that now starts to help me perform better, to know that I can turn it on and off. Because a lot of guys can't turn it on
When you say turn it on and turn it off, what specifically are you turning on? That attraction, that chemistry, that fire?
That mojo. I mean, at the end of the day, if you see a woman that you know that things can escalate with. Things can get very, 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 very hot. Imagine on a mind trip. Think of everything on a mental trip that you could actually, like, turn it down and wait and show the willpower and the strength so that
this is besides real life. It's not work.
This goes into both. Really? This is when it crosses. This is when it crosses into that gray area because let's say you just had a scene with a woman, and it was the best sex that you and her both had, and she's expressed that to you, and you expressed that to her afterwards, and you don't do anything about it. What do you think she's going to do as a female? She's
going to make sure cooking, right?
She's going to make sure that every time she gets a chance to work with a black man or a person that can fit your qualifications, book me with that guy. Didn't you get the round two? I mean, it's like, you know, I've lived a life where I've done many, many different jobs, you know, over my career and span of time.
Let me ask you a question. You have this job, which is your job, the adult performer. What's another job you have in your life that is the complete opposite of that? Like, completely opposite. A job that's like not even... Like, I worked at Blockbuster Video. Right? Awful job.
I would say my... All right. So you would say the worst job, because I've worked over maybe 100 jobs in my lifetime, just because of the fact that I guess I have commitment issues. I don't know, but it's just like, you know. And then when I was a marketer, when I was doing marketing and promotion and stuff, we would get a lot of different clients all the time. So it was, you know, it's a goal to have a lot of clients, you know. But I think the worst job I ever had was actually a valet parking attendant.
That's probably awful job. People treat you like shit, right?
The way it worked was kind of funny because I had the best and the worst time because the first time I started out working at Yankee Stadium.
So
at that point it was fun. People was coming out. You know, I was able to hustle a little bit. You know, I had my little pitch down, as you would say, and I made a lot of money. I made very good money doing it, and then they. Season was over, and they said, "Okay, Mo, well, we like you, your work ethics. You can still keep the job, but we're going to put you in another location until you know, baseball season comes back." They put me out here in Queens. I was, not the N train, but the other one that went to Portland, but the R train. And I was right over there, close to Left Rack City or whatever. And it was like a ghost town. I would make no money. I would sit there all night in the car. But I met interesting people, and I was able to study well. You know, I was in college and stuff. And I didn't make half shit. I don't make nowhere near the amount of money that I made working at Yankee Stadium. But the consistency and the having a job, the routine, I was able to study more. I was able to have time to think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You had more time to sit there and kind of contemplate and figure out you and maybe do some other shit that you couldn't do when you're at home.
I mean,
but not make any money at the same time.
Well, since I don't work for that company anymore, I'm not gonna say what company was. It got to a point where I did learn the tricks of the trade.
Sure.
So I would have a couple of girls that would come over.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I got a graveyard full of gate down. Listen, customers come, knock knock. You know what time it is. Like this is my little after hour pad now, you know. But you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what kind of job I always had. I always try to find the best in it and try to make the best out of it.
When are you like, okay, so you have, as a man, I've asked women this that have been on the show, but as a man, you're the first performer I've ever asked, you know, like had a chance to kind of pick your brain about it. I've had a million jobs. Men have to fend for themselves, especially if you come from, I come from a really broke background. So you're out there, you're working every job you can work. And all the while, I've had in the back of my mind what I've always wanted to do, which I'm doing now, you know, thank God. But during that time, are you saying to yourself, you know, because a lot of dudes think they're good at sex.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dudes out there that slang big dick. But that's nothing. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into what this is.
There's a lot more.
So when are you, like, what age and what was the moment where you're like, you know, I really want to pursue this? Because I'm sure it comes from a vanity standpoint, especially if you're a young man. I mean, vanity is our worst enemy when we're young men. Mm. So I'm assuming, like, you're like, man, I got this dick. I got, you know, these chicks are always, like, telling me this and that and such. Maybe I got a shot. But when are you serious about that? Like, when is this? Tell me about how it happened.
The first time that it happened to me, I really was very serious. It's like, I think I was in college. And, I mean, I had to really look at my system. And it was a combination between my mother and the weekday girls, because I literally, this is the craziest story. I'm telling you, I'm probably telling you way too many stories right now, but it's a Friday.
Yeah,
I'm at a point, you know,
good.
We had a little
ladies
vodka.
Watching, you know, cut, dress,
can I get a refill later?
Tell your story.
I would tell the story thing. So basically what happened is I had a girl for every day of the week when I was in college. So I would work that same valet parking job at night. And then in the daytime, I would go to college. And then in the afternoon and stuff like that, I would have the girls come over. So it got to a point. Thank you, brother. It got to a point where my mother made a joke. And she said, you know, if you liked having sex so much, why won't you, like, you can make a career out of that. She
so you
started
had an open relationship with your mom.
My mother and my father are probably the coolest parents you can ever have.
So, and your dad's still around?
Dad's still around.
Obviously, because he brought you today.
Yeah.
Your driver was acting crazy.
My father hopped in the car and said, son, I will get you there. He said, and I want a Big Mac. I said, listen, man. I got you when I get back, Foster. Let me go ahead. Let me take care of this business. But, like, my parents was the coolest. And, you know, having parents, like, we was never really, like, we was kind of, like, lower middle class growing up. And, you know, we had a little bit more than a lot of people around us, but we wasn't the richest house on
the,
you know, the richest family on the block, whatever the case may be. And one thing that they gave me, I think that was, like, the most valuable thing was they gave me the sense of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, since I was young, they allowed me to go out.
They're from America. They're not.
But,
like, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Both from, I mean, I have heritage from France and New Orleans and stuff like that. Yeah, Creole. Creole. All right. You know, but my side's on my father's side. On my mother's side, you know, they came on a slave ship. You know, like everybody else. It was the Johnsons. Mm-hmm. But, like, literally, it's just like they gave me the freedom to explore. And even though I didn't, like, make the most money, I had the freedom to do whatever I wanted. And not in a negative way.
You allowed me to go explore. Like, I feel like a lot of guys that I knew coming up had to do something right away. It wasn't like they had options where it was like, hey, we want you to go to college and explore yourself and figure out you. You had an opportunity to kind of do that. Probably a lot of guys around you didn't really have that.
It was a lot of my friends was very spoiled, or they was just very close-minded of not wanting to. Like, they had the freedom, but they didn't really want to use the freedom. Like, freedom to them was like, let's hang out in a corner and smoke weed because no one cares at home. Yeah. So that's, we got freedom. You know what I mean? Whereas with me, it was like, my family was like, you know, go downtown to that business program that you want to go to, even though we know you're going to be coming home 10 o'clock at night because it's a 2-hour train ride.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something you want to do. So go ahead and do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was a different type of freedom for me.
Your parents instilled that in you. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
They allowed me to, like, even like, because mostly people didn't really like to leave. Like in New York City, I don't know if you was like born and raised in New York City, but a lot of people in New York City, they have zone high schools and then they have, you know, specialized high schools. Mm-hmm. So zone means you're in your own area.
Yep.
Specialized means you literally have to get up in the morning, mostly real early, travel all the way. I know a lot of sports like in Queens and Manhattan. So mine was in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And I had to wake up in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, get on the train, go all the way down to school, and spend, you know, the 8 hours a day in school, and then I would go to an after-school program afterwards.
What was the specialty of that high school that you went to?
It was my course I took was humanities, but it was mainly for business and for nursing.
Nice.
So it was a lot of hot chicks in my school.
The humanities, HR, man, that shit is all these hot chicks. They don't want you to harass nobody, but they had all these hot chicks working in HR.
Exactly. It was so many hot chicks. I think that's also what helped me. Like, I think most of my life I got into college, I didn't really have male friends most of the time. Most of my friends was female friends because I've always felt comfortable listening to females, talking to females, and a lot of guys.
You're close to your mom. That's always like a stem.
No, my mom, my sisters, you know. So it was always weird that, like, people would always be mad at me because they'd be like, yeah, he's always with the girls. But then as we all started kind of going through puberty, they was realizing, he's always with the girls. Like,
then they would be my friend. In your neighborhood, right? But they don't go to school with you. So they don't see you pretty much during the school year, during the week.
Mm-mm.
They catch you on the weekends maybe. But for the most part, you're living this whole other life. And then you can come back and be with your friends. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that was very good. And then I stumbled into one friend that kind of introduced me to this business program. Mm-hmm. And then that business program introduced me to a lot of entrepreneurs that kind of set the tone for me to be like, you know what, I really want to do business. And then that led me to my boy that was doing music. And then he led me to my mentor. And then everything turned everything. And then at the end of the day, I look at it like my whole.
So your mentor, he was not a porn person.
He was a music industry person.
So you were in the, you were kind of getting into different things like entertainment wise.
Yeah.
How did you stumble upon? Because you saying your mother kind of made a half joke about, yeah, if you love sex so much, you should be.
Yeah. Because she knew it. She told me from when I was a kid. She said she told me one story when I was a little kid. It was funny. It was a white woman too. Well, a white girl. And I was walking around and I had a bottle and I walked past her and I seen her and I stopped and I went back and I gave her my bottle. Like, you could have, like have my bottle. Like, you know, I didn't know how to express myself all the way, but I knew. And my mother knew. And my mother said to her and the other girl, they just laughed. And they, you know, because at that time, you're talking about early 80s, where it was still very taboo, especially with, you know, with the interracial kind of thing.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, you see this little boy and he's being over friendly with your daughter, you know, but in such a polite way that it was actually cute.
Yeah.
You know, so my mother always knew I was like kind of a ladies man, but I just never really liked to hang out with dudes because dudes would always hate on me because they'd be mad.
Yeah.
And I never knew why until I started like having sex with girls and then it was like, boom. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Now you get with their man.
Nah, I see that because
it's like being in a bar with a lot of dudes. Everyone fights because they're not getting any pussy.
It's the machismo and like the confidence level, because it's like if you deal with women for so much, you know how to deal with women. Mm-hmm. So like it's to the point for me now, if a girl's talking something I really don't want to hear, it's like I really don't hear you.
Yeah.
But I can be in a full conversation with you and it'll just go over my head.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of things sometimes can go over my head because of the fact that I'm so used to people talking or saying things, some good, some bad.
Yeah.
But my mind automatically weeds. Like, if it's important or if I see that there's a benefit of this,
you zone in.
It'll click. But if it's nonsense,
done.
Over my head.
Yeah. The cool stays cool, right?
Yeah.
So, this is a more social question for you, which I'm really interested in your take on it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like black men in America right now are becoming almost to a degree like novelty in the sense that all these women keep using black men for their dick, and black men are like on it, right? Because we're all men at the end of the day, right? We're like, you have a thing with big black dick?
Mm.
Like, you know, like the game is posting these pictures now with his dick hard in his underwear on Instagram.
I would have no idea he was doing that.
And there's another rapper that I never even heard of comes out and just does his thing too like that.
Yeah.
And what's hitting me is like, what I was getting to at the beginning of the show, which is full circle, is how good I am. The Kardashians now are the sex symbols, unfortunately.
True.
Unfortunately,
I mean, they're pretty hot.
They're very, very hot.
They're pretty hot.
But unfortunately, for the sense that there's not like a talent going behind it. Like, Marilyn Monroe, she took singing, dancing, acting lessons, right? She's getting at it, right? Yeah. Pamela Anderson, she took some acting lessons. She was on a show, and that's how she got known, right? But J-Lo sings and dance and acts. You know, she does it all.
Yeah.
But these women are just like famous for being
famous.
Whatever, right?
That's the thing.
It is what it is.
The debutantes. Yeah. But you got to realize, you got to go back on history and look on how she got on. She got on through Paris Hilton. How did Paris Hilton get on?
There's a lot of stuff going on. But you know what's funny? Like, when you saw that Paris Hilton tape, weren't you like, damn, she did a
pretty
good job.
I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even care it was in night vision. I was just like, oh my God.
And then when you saw Kim's, you're like, wow, she uses the double hand.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, man. And then the double hand got me. Like, fucking double hand, all right. She did the kaleidoscope. That'll get me a tribute.
It's one of those things where you got to realize it's like, you know, she put her money where her mouth is.
I'm cool with how they got on. What I'm saying is, you being a black man in America and being that you are a guy who has a sexual prowess now, where you meet women, you deal with women, and does it at some point, I get it, like in the beginning, if pussy's flooding you, you take it. Like, if I'm a black man and pussy's cut, it's white pussy too, because I know there's a degree of fuck the white man, I'll fuck your women. It's a great thing. Do it. I'm Hawaiian. I hate white people, but I look white. I get it. Like, there's a little bit of like, yeah, that's right, I'm going to fuck your women too. And the thing about it, like, as a black man, you get to a point where so many women are with you now because you go, are you with me because you like me?
Yeah.
Are you with me because you want to deal with a black dude? Yeah. And that's what's trendy right now. All these white girls are banging black dudes. Is that why you're with me? Yeah. Do you even care? Are you like, whatever?
You know what it is? You have to weed them out. Like, it's a few good ones. Like, you know.
So you know when someone's real with you.
Yeah.
I date a lot of women that date everybody, which is great. But I've also fucked a lot of girls who exclusively say they only do black guys because that's what's in. It's like,
that's kind of
and
weird.
They don't say it that way, but yeah, I know what I'm talking to them. Just like on your Instagram feed.
It's a conspiracy theory.
but you're with me. Oh, but you're half Sicilian, so I'm not totally jumping off the boat.
Well, if you're half Sicilian, you got a little black in you then.
I got a little more in me. I got the boys in me. Would you ever get, like, I mean, I think at some point, especially if you're a thinker, in the beginning, it would be amazing. You would take it. Whatever, like, I love getting laid, let's all get laid, whatever. If you're into that, all of a sudden you got this taste. It's like people that go after, what's that, like sushi. When sushi came out in the 80s, everybody was all about that sushi. Maybe the black dick now is the new sushi. Hey. Come and get it, right? Hey. Come and get the sushi. But at some point, as a person, you gotta be like, all right, don't turn me into some fucking bullshit with you. Like, I'm a man, like, I'll do you up. And then these women, like, why don't they treat me properly? Because you're there for the wrong reasons.
It's true.
Do you get, like, what is your personal preference? I know you love all women.
I love all women, and I love sex.
Well, let's get your resume. You know what it is? Get along with the best.
You know what it is? I get along with all women. I like white women. I'm not going to lie, because they are how they are. It's like, yeah. You know. Being a strong black man, I had to tell that to my mother. Like, I looked dead in her face with it and told her, like, Dookie, I like white women because they make my life easy.
Yeah.
You know, and she looked at me and she said, son, I can't believe you told me this. But I'm like, Dookie, it's the truth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My thing is, at this point, like I said, since I was probably in my teens, I don't lie, I don't fabricate situations, you know what I'm saying? Because of the fact, it's no need, you don't lie, a real man doesn't have to lie on his dick, you know what I mean? If you do something, you do it. If you don't, you don't. You know what I'm saying? And it goes across the board. Just morals and principles. And literally, I like women. I like white women a lot more than I like black women, because sometimes black women, they want you to show more affection than is needed. But then some of them don't really want you to show them affection, but they want you to show them more because they see what you show someone else.
Sure.
Or you show, oh, well, you show that girl this affection, or you show that type of girl affection, so I don't deserve it. Everybody has like an ego and a chip on their shoulder. You know, so you can't go wrong. If you get a black woman, you're going to understand she's going to bitch and complain a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get a white woman, she's going to be very, you know, passive and very, very appreciative, you know, because she's more into just being into the cool thing.
Yeah.
But some of them are bona fide with it. Some of them are like, I'm stoned. This is all seriously. I want. This is what I like. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're the real ones. Now, the real thing, I've seen a few of them in like the real like neighborhoods and urban societies. And it's literally like, they dead ass. Like, they really, you know, they'll fight for it. They'll hold it down. You know, they want
white women.
Yeah. They want the mixed babies. And then you have the ones who seen what Angela Jolie did, or see what this one did, or that one did.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I just want to have a black baby. So I just want to have sex with you until I have a baby. Really?
I wasn't even gonna go there yet.
Trust me. I've had women that this trait told me, I just want to have your baby and that's it. Like, how do you deviate that?
That makes you feel like, am I a person? This dick.
Yeah.
I mean,
at that point, it's not even a dick anymore. She wants to have your baby. She just wants to have black in her.
I'm gonna go that far to a degree where they're thinking like, hey, I'm gonna get this white pussy, but you know, I just kind of want that black sperm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take something. I'm still taking something from you.
And have no problem. Like, I have
connection.
Especially in LA. Like, out in New York, I haven't really had that experience too much, because New York,
I think
they're pretty, like, you know, the women that I deal with in LA, I would say, like, even financially level wise,
mm-hmm.
I probably would. If I had a woman in New York with that type of status,
you would never leave New York.
I would probably just marry her. Like, I quit everything. Like, because out here, it's still not as accepted as it is on the West Coast. Where it's like, on the West Coast, you know, top down.
It's liberal trendy.
Yes.
It's liberal trendy on the West Coast.
Yes.
In New York, it's real, because people deal with all races and creeds all day.
I get on the train,
I'm dealing with annoying ass people from every race you can think of.
True.
You're like, it doesn't matter. Everyone's still what they are. They're still people, right?
Exactly.
Out there, it's like, well, this is a movement.
This is a movement.
I'm a part of a movement.
Yes.
I'm a part of a movement.
You remember, it was so funny. One of my fans on Twitter had said that. They said, Mo's dick is so black that it started a social movement. He said, Mo's dick matters. I said, I quit. I'm turning my computer off.
I'm done. Thank you. I think
you said it all for me right there. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, black is beautiful. You know, and it's, like I said, it's nothing wrong with embracing your love for the black people in the culture.
You prefer white women in the sense that I have my good friend. He told me this pretty much the same thing, that I feel like the black women have it pretty rough.
They do.
They come from a background where a lot of times, like, because I associate with Hawaiian women, just to give a little education to the people out there, Hawaiian women deal with terrible men in Hawaii. Like, you go to a real Hawaii, Hawaiian women, they get beat up, They deal with dudes who are like awful dudes, and a lot of them become lesbians. I'm gonna generalize a little bit. If you want to hit me up and piss all over it, fine. But it's the truth. Hawaiian women put up a lot of shit. Black women put up with a lot of shit.
Oh my god.
When it comes to men, they have tons of issues.
That's true.
Either maybe the dad's not around, or the men in their neighborhood treat them like shit. Mm. I've dated black women from neighborhoods like that, and these women, they're hard sometimes to get along with because they're waiting for you to be awful.
They want they that's what it is. It's like I had one time, this is when I was like 17 and I was dealing with a woman, I was 35, and like she told me, she was like,
wow,
she told me straight up, she said, you have never really been in love with a woman unless you put your hands on her. And I didn't get that because of how close I was with my mother and my sister, you know, and like most of my female friends, it was like I would never see myself put my hands on a woman.
So essentially, she was saying, unless you slap the shit out of someone,
you don't really love
them. You don't feel them enough.
You don't love them enough. And you gotta understand, every woman has went through her own story, so you can't say like the one woman may look one way, or she may put a very good wall up. And gives you the presentation that she's this perfect woman, but deep inside, she's a broken spirit.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you want to, like, the difference between, like, loving a woman and having lust for a woman is to actually have enough passion in you that you want to actually break that outer wall. Mm-hmm. And no matter how thick it is, you're willing to go through whatever she's willing to push you through to get into that place where she can be comfortable and let herself be real with you. Mm-hmm. Because once you get a woman to that part, that's when you really get to enjoy a woman. Exactly. And it has nothing, like I said, it has nothing to do with putting hands on them. It has nothing to do with fearing or threatening them. Mm-hmm. It's how you do it. You know, and with me, you know, I'm a pretty funny guy, I think. So, you know, sometimes I may use comedy. I may use my personality to win her over.
Comedy does it all.
You know, I can see you on the dance floor. We can two-step to the night, you know, night away, whatever. It doesn't matter. The best part of finding love is exactly that, finding love. You want to break down into different ways to do it. I mean, if it was so simple that you could just sit down and have a script, then everybody would do it. Yeah. That's when you have those guys, pickup artists, whatever they call them, where it's like, I use this one line and it works every time.
No.
It's about seeing how you can create a different environment for every different woman. And this is the things that I actually learned how to discover in college. And that's what turned forth such a great sex life, where to the point where I had women I was willing to say, I'm your Tuesday girl, I'm fine with that, but don't have another girl in your bed on Tuesday, because that's my day. You see what I'm saying?
That's right, grown up.
But you have to lay the law down as a man for them to respect it. If you can't lay the law down for them to respect it, then you can't respect them to respect you. I'm saying, if you're dealing with a woman and you're saying you're not willing to reach or push my sexual envelopes, then that basically means that she's not the woman for you, because the woman for you be willing to do anything that you ask and above.
Sure.
Because she wants to please you.
Mm-hmm. And you're the same for her.
There you go.
So for a guy that knows how to fall in love, and you can teach a course on how to fall in love and how to fall in love the right way and how to treat people, treat women specifically, why is it so hard for you to actually find that? I feel like maybe you have moments.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to say what I think about what you go through. You tell me how far off I am. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're a guy that you can fall in love in 2 seconds. You're a passionate guy because you can find that moment. Mm-hmm. But to sustain the reality of that, your intellect is too far along to just go, I'm in love. You know right away, like, hey, this is very quick. We got to, you know, make this. I got to figure out what this person is, what they're about. And then by the time you go through that, because the people that you normally deal with, maybe you don't get to get to have that long kind of stretch where you get to learn about somebody.
Exactly.
So why is it so hard to fall in love for you?
For me, it's because the woman is already coming to me with insecurity issues. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a girl I was dealing with, like, off and on. We was kind of like platonic friends, but we had that chemistry, and we knew it was holding back. And I knew it for 6 years. And we never really acted on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time I will have a new girlfriend, she will always show that she's more interested than she appears to be.
Sure. Because she's playing her bullshit.
You know, she wants it to be known, like, okay, we're not together, but I want to mark my territory.
You're still mine.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And that was fine with me. I was with it. Like, I was like, yo, fine. If that's how you feel, if you're willing to step up and show me that I'm what you want, I'm willing to give you my time and show you that I'll be the man you want me to be. But if you're just doing that just to be selfish, I'm going to read that too.
Yeah, and you found out that probably was more.
It was just more of you want to have me there.
That power. Yeah.
You want the power. And that goes back to, like I was telling you in the beginning, of having that 90-10% relationship. Like, I started it off in a club. I'm giving you guys A1 CV. We should be charging for these lessons right now. Sure. But, like, literally, like, when I used to go, I was on my club rat days. I used to always be in the nightclubs all the time. I would literally make myself look like parents, everything, town to the T, even if I gotta have a drink in my hand just to fit the vibe, and I'm already drunk, I'll just hold a drink just because that's what you gotta do in the club.
Social vibe, yeah.
And I will watch a girl come 90%. And when she comes 90%, I will come to 10%. But when I came that 10%, it would be so strong and on point that it would be almost 90% of the time I would hit it on the first night. And it wasn't that I was trying to hit on the first night, but women like to be wooed. Women still like the traditional ways of a man coming after them, but the right way. Yeah. If you do it the right way and you get it to a certain accuracy and its preciseness, that literally the panties will come down on the first night. And it doesn't change who the woman is. It doesn't make her less of a woman.
It doesn't make her a whore, doesn't make her anything.
None.
It just means that she finally found that works, right?
And that's what they want.
She could be a nun. She could come out of the convent, go to the nightclub.
I'm not going to go that far. But with the right words, the right setting, the right actions, and the right feelings, anything is possible to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's not to be, like, looked down upon, because she gave it up on the first night. Or if she gave it up 6 months later. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what matters is that every time you spend that time, you have that same connection. Amen. It's all about the connection, mm-hmm. you know? And that was one of the things, like I said, I learned that in college, that I would be able to deal with a woman. I could have a countdown. I would count down. It would take me 2 weeks. It would take me 1 week. It would take me this amount of time before she would give it up. But she wouldn't be mad that she gave it up, because in the day is, she's like, you've done everything
that I needed to give it up. It's just
like anything else. And I'm not afraid to play by your rules.
Check is cleared. Credit is cleared. You know? Done.
And I'm not afraid to play by your rules.
That's right.
So, you know, it's all about how you decide that you want to play the game. And when you get to a point where you can have more mind control over your body than the lust that you have naturally in your body, that's when you win.
And it's the old Iceberg Slim adage. I mean, Iceberg Slim wrote that great book, you know, Iceberg Slim, the Great Pimp. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we're pimps here. I'm not gonna.
Not at all. I'm a male porn star. That's what I do for a living.
Male porn star. I'm a man who loves all technique.
There you go.
And he says it the best. Where he would not. He doesn't sleep with any of his women.
That's it.
And they all would crawl into his bed hoping that he would sleep with them. And he says no. Like, it's not gonna happen that way.
Yes.
And to a certain degree, that's the way that this works. It's like, hey, no, you don't get this until we figure some things out. If we figure it out in 5 hours at the nightclub, or we figure it out in 5 weeks.
That's right.
That's up to us.
That's right.
I love you, Mo. Right? We nailed it.
Yes, sir.
In 15 minutes, we nailed it. These people don't know. They're not know what's going to go on when they're going to hear this. They have no idea. We nailed interracial relations.
Yes.
We nailed down college.
Yes.
This will make motherfuckers want to go to college.
Trust me, fellas. Y'all want to be players? Let me tell you something. If you want to be a player, there's two things you need to do: go to church and go to college.
That's what you learn.
Because knowledge and God will get you some pussy.
Actually, Mo is getting a pillow with that woven in. Knowledge and God will get you some pussy and a t-shirt. So check out Mo's stuff. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you're going to be doing. Go ahead.
All right. You can check me out on motormonster.com.
Spell that out for them.
It's MOETHEMONSTER. And you can find that me on Data 18 if you want to check some of the companies that I do work for. Just type in Motor Monster or type in Mo Johnson. And also you can find my new cartoon on my website,
awesome.
Monster City. It's basically an animation, kind of like a futuristic kind of feel in between Boondocks and Sin City.
So like there's a picture of you with a bunch of girls around you, right? That's part of the animation.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, you know, Mike Tyson has a new animation, a show like the where he has pigeons and stuff. It's on Cartoon Network.
Oh, I haven't.
The animation looks similar, like the way it's drawn. It's really cool. So you guys gotta check that out. It's really cool.
Okay.
You got Twitter too? Plug that. Check out Mo's shit, not Mike's shit.
on my Twitter, it is Mo, M-O-E underscore T-H-E underscore Monster, like the energy drink. And then on Instagram, it is MoTheMonster13, all one word. And you can kind of catch up with some of the latest things that I'm doing. I'm always busy in LA running around.
So are you predominantly based in LA now?
Pretty much.
You miss New York a little bit?
I miss New York.
It's going
to
be back.
I still hold on to the license.
Yeah.
I don't want to give New York up yet, but it's definitely been good to be home. I mean, I've been home, a full week. Now,
nice,
and you know, I had a kick-ass birthday party last fall for Halloween, and I was able to do a lot of nice fun things with my publicist Lainey this week.
Shout out to Lainey.
She's been holding me down all week, and you know, like I said, the next thing, if you guys are in the New York area or you know in New Jersey area. Next weekend.
November 13th,
through the 15th, we will be at Exotica.
I'll be there shooting stuff for Dane on set, everybody. So me and Mo will be there hanging out. Yes. So that's great.
It will be an awesome time. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Come see Mo.
Yeah. Don't see me. Come see the monster.
Come check
the monster. I'm going to try to have some DVDs and stuff like that for sale, you know, reasonably priced to kind of like, you know, try to get a lot of people to get what they came for.
Hell,
I mean,
yeah.
Let's keep porn alive.
Yeah, do it.
You know, pay for your porn. Make sure that you're not just watching it on bootleg. You know, mm-hmm. You have to support us, because without supporting us, we won't be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on, dude.
I appreciate you having me, man. Oh, yeah. It was
fun.
We had
a good time, man.
I got
a good buzz going, too.
Sun came down the chimney 3:30. With lots of nice little presents for my baby and me.
I want to thank Mo for Mo. If you're out there listening, my bro, thank you so much for coming on. That was the whitest thing I've ever said. And I'm a great dancer, too. That's what's sad. Mo, you're awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking your truth and being honest with us here on the show, being honest with me. I think that that's the gift that keeps on giving here in this holiday season. So everybody go and support Mo. Go follow him on all of his social media handles, Instagram, the Twitter, and go out and buy his scenes, buy his movies, because a dude like that, solid dude, and we should all go support people who are solid. Shout outs to everybody that's been writing emails. Thank you so much. I appreciate all the interest in the show. We're working on some pretty cool things, and we're only getting better. And I'm really happy that now I have this microphone that works now. It's been a slow roll, but finally, I have figured out how to make all my microphones work. It's a fucking miracle. It's a Christmas miracle, everybody. It's a Christmas miracle. All the microphones are working. And it's a... Now, just to be clear, the microphones are working now, currently, while I'm talking to you. But this interview is a little bit echoey. But I feel like we have trouble fixed that. So, troubleshoot. Whatever. So in 2016, it's going to be all legit. In the words of my man Hammer, it's going to be too legit to quit. So do me a solid. Go to the iTunes page. Subscribe. Rate. Wherever you hear it, tell a friend. You know, do something. Let's get this thing off the ground. If you enjoy the show, which a lot of you are saying you do. I know there's a lot of shows out there you can pick from, but I love having you in mind. So on that note, I wish all the best to you and your family on this holiday season. May you have a happy New Year. May you have a Merry Christmas. May you have a Happy Hanukkah. May you have a Happy Kwanzaa. And I hope you carry in 2016 with a bang, and let's all come together and do it all together in a big way. Peace.